Everybody, and welcome to the Kids Story Time. That opening song was called The Summer Song. We have two stories for you tonight. The first one is called The Bee Sting, and the second one is called The Watermelon Prince. After the first story, we'll have 10 trivia questions that you can answer A, B, or C, and there is a summer theme to all of them. We'll give you a little time to think about your answer before we reveal it. Have a pen and paper handy to write down your guesses. Let's listen now to tonight's first story called The Bee Sting.
Today's story is called The Bee's Sting, an adaptation of an Aesop's fable written for you by Daniel Hines. The Bee's Sting. Once upon a time, a long time ago, a hive of bees was busy with the business of honey. Some were making it in sticky little gobs, some were feeding the queen and the babies, and some others were out collecting the pollen and nectar they needed. Billy had a different job. He was supposed to guard the honey. Unfortunately, this was before bees had stingers, so he had an awfully tricky time of it. "Please don't take the honey," he'd say to the beetle, who would trundle across the hive and scoop up a few mouthfuls.
"Share and share alike, that's what I always say," the beetle would reply, unfazed.
"Really, you have to stop," Billy would say to the skunk, who would sneak in her long, greedy tongue. "Just a few licks. You can spare it," the skunk would wheedle back.
"Oh, please stop," he'd shriek at the bear, who would shake the whole hive and nearly break it apart, scooping out globs of honey with his big, hairy paws.
"Delicious. Buzz, 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 little friends," the bear would rumble back pleasantly.
On and on this went, until there was barely enough honey left for the bees to feed themselves. They started to get hungry, and many of them started to blame Billy and the other guards.
"It's not fair," said Billy. "We're so small. How are we supposed to stop even a big beetle? Never mind a skunk. Never mind a bear."
"Well, you better figure something out," grumbled the hungry others. Dismayed and lost, Billy buzzed out of the hive one night. He landed on a lolling leaf and sighed into the moonlight.
"It's not fair," he said. "We guards do our best, but we're just little honeybees. If only I had a way to protect the hive."
The wind swirled around the little bee, and soon he heard a voice blowing past his fuzzy antenna. Little bee," said a rustle of flowers and grass.
"Who's there?" Billy said, looking around the darkness. It's me, Mother Nature, said the voice. You're right about it not being fair. I should have realized that others would be after your honey.
So you'll help me? Billy asked.
I will, said Mother Nature. I'll give you a stinger, sharp as you could like. If anyone tries to steal your honey, you give them a sting, and that will have them thinking twice. Billy thanked her over and over and flew back to the hive to tell the other guards. The next morning, when they woke up, they all had stingers at the end of their abdomens.
This is great, said Billy, and the others all agreed. We can finally protect the honey.
Protect the honey, the guard bees cried together. That day, a beetle came trundling up.
Please leave the honey alone, Billy said.
Share and share alike, little bee, the beetle said, and went to steal some honey like usual.
Billy readied his new stinger.
Last warning! Out of my way, wise guy!
Billy could tell that the beetle wasn't going to back down. So, to protect his hive's honey, he flew over and gave him a sting.
Yow! Yelped the beetle. I'm out of here!
The guard bees all celebrated together. Their first honey defense! The queen would be so proud! Later that day, the skunk happened by. She crept up close and got her long tongue ready to steal something sweet.
Hey, don't take our honey, Billy said, a little more confident now.
Just a little lick, said the skunk. You won't even miss it.
Well, Billy was out of patience and didn't even bother asking twice. He grabbed some other guard bees and together they dove down and stung the skunk. They got her on the nose and on the ears, and she was soon yelping.
Ow! Oh! Ow! Hey! Hey! She said, shaking her head.
This stings worse than me! Forget it!
And the skunk ran off, leaving the guard bees to celebrate again. A little later, as the afternoon sun was warming them into a happy, sleepy stupor, a bear came snuffling about. This time, the bees didn't even wait for the bear to ask. When he got too close, all the guards came out at once, led by brave Billy.
Protect the honey, he cried.
Protect the hive!
They flooded over the bear and stung him all over his shaggy face and neck. He roared and swung his mighty paws, but the bees were everywhere, and they were too small to swat.
Never mind the honey, he said, rolling in the grass. Ow, ow, my buzz friends.
He turned and ran into the woods, leaving the hive alone. The guard bees all celebrated, and that night all the other bees joined their celebration, too. Not a single drop of honey had been stolen. The next day, the guard bees got together again, and Billy had an exciting new idea.
Instead of waiting for them to come to us, he said, this time we'll take the fight to them.
What do you mean? Asked another guard.
Well, we had to tell the beetle twice. The skunk and bear tried too. Let's go sting them now before they even get close.
The other bees cheered the idea, and soon a whole cloud of guards was floating across the grassy forest floor. First, they found the beetle, chewing a little leaf. They stung him before he even knew what was happening.
Hey, what gives?
That's what you get for thinking about our honey.
I was thinking about my pincers.
A likely story, said Billy, and on they flew.
Soon they found the skunk, digging through some flowers for their tender roots. The cloud darkened the sky and then landed on the skunk, stinging her left, right, and center. She sprayed her stink, but the bees weren't deterred.
Ow, ow, stop it, she said, running back to her burrow. This seriously stinks.
And don't think about our honey again, said Billy.
And on they flew. Next, they found the bear, lazily drinking from the river. He heard the buzzing approach and looked up, waving a shaggy paw.
"Oh, it's my buzzy friends," he said. "Hello, friends. Wait, oh, what are you doing? The stings!"
He panicked and lumbered into the water, where Billy and the other guard bees were forced to let him swim away.
"That's right," Billy called after him, "and never come for our honey again."
That night, they celebrated another successful day protecting the hive. There was singing and dancing and buzzing of all kinds. The next morning, Billy and the guard bees went out stinging everyone again, and again, and again, all before they could even come close to the hive. This went on for a couple weeks until one day Billy found himself swept aside by the wind. It tumbled him tail over wings and sent him spinning away from the other guards.
"Hey! Whoa!"
he cried as the invisible stream of air dragged him through the forest and then dumped him in the middle of a grassy clearing. He looked up and saw he wasn't alone. Around him were the beetle, the skunk, and the bear.
"Hey there," he said a little sheepishly.
"Billy the bee," came the wind-rustle voice of Mother Nature. "These animals say you've been stinging them."
"To protect the honey," he said. "To protect the queen. She needs to eat."
"True enough, but they say you've been stinging them even when they aren't after honey."
"I was taking a walk," said the beetle.
"I was brushing my tail," said the skunk.
"I was waving hello," said the bear.
"Is this true?" asked Mother Nature. Billy buzzed uncomfortably.
"Well, they'd come for the honey in the past. We figured, you know, better to sting first before they got close."
The wind of Mother Nature gusted through the clearing and the bee had to buzz to stay in place.
"You've turned into a bully," she said, her voice an angry gale. "I gave you the power to protect yourself, and you use it to attack your fellow creatures?"
"I'm sorry. I won't do it again."
"That's right. You won't," said Mother Nature. "From now on, you can only sting once. After that, you'll lose your stinger. So don't waste it."
There was a howl of wind, a whirl of leaves, a patter of rain, and a crack of thunder. Billy was swept off in a whirlwind, spiraling up and down and around. The grass was the sky and the ground was blue, and just when he thought he might lose his honey, he was back at the hive, gasping for breath.
Don't forget,
came the voice of Mother Nature on the fading maelstrom.
"I won't," Billy said back, his little voice swept up in the breeze.
And that's how Billy and the bees learned that hurting others was a serious business. And to this day, honeybees will only sting if you're threatening them. Because when a honeybee stings, it stings them too. The end.
Time now for tonight's trivia questions. You can answer them A, B, or C. Have some fun with them and see if you can guess the correct answer. We'll read the question and give you a little time to think of the answer before we tell it to you. Are you ready? All right, here's question number one. When is the first day of summer? A, June 21st, B, July 1st, or C, July 10th? And the correct answer is A, June 21st. Question number two. The days between July 3rd and August 11th are called what? A, dog days of summer, B, the cat days of summer, or C, the hot days of summer? And the correct answer was A, the dog days of summer. And it doesn't have anything to do with dogs. It has to do with the dog star Sirius. That's when it rises. Question number 3. This pesky insect is the most active in the summer. A. Bees. B. Mosquitoes. Or C. Butterflies. And of course the answer is B. The mosquito. Question number 4. This summer treat is made up of 92% water. A. Celery. B. Lemons. Or C. Watermelon. And the correct answer was C. Watermelon. Question number 5. This month is named the National Ice Cream Month. A. July. B. June. Or C. August. And the correct answer was A, July. Question number 6. You might find this interesting. In 1905, this 11-year-old boy invented this popular frozen summer treat. A, was it ice cream? B, ice cubes? Or C, popsicles? And the correct answer was C, popsicles. 11-year-old boy invented them. Question 7. This Canadian city is named the Slurpee Capital of Canada. A. Sydney. B. Vancouver. Or C. Winnipeg. And the correct answer was C. Winnipeg. Question number 8. This province is Canada's sunniest. A. Prince Edward Island. B. British Columbia. Or C. Manitoba. And the correct answer was C, Manitoba. Question number 9. The summer month July is named after a famous Roman. A. Julius Caesar. B. Mark Antony. Or C. Spartacus. And the correct answer was A, Julius Caesar. And the final question, number 10. This could be a tricky one. My birthday is in July. Can you guess which day it is? A, July 1st. B, July 11th. Or C, July 24th. And the correct answer was July 24th. Those are your 10 trivia questions. Tonight's second story is called The Watermelon Prince. Let's take a listen to it now.
This week's story is sponsored by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/storynoi for your free audiobook download. The Watermelon Prince. Hello, this is Natasha. And this is a story from Vietnam about the origin of watermelons. Watermelons are a delicious fruit. They are large, round, and green on the outside and red on the inside, and they have lots of black seeds. They are truly refreshing on a hot day when you are feeling thirsty. But that's not the only way you can eat them. In Vietnam, people eat roasted watermelon seeds as part of the New Year celebrations known as Tet. All in all, they are a very scrummy and special fruit. And this is the story of how they first came to Vietnam. But before the story, I'd just like to tell you about a special audiobook that you can buy from our sponsor, Audible. It's called The Quite Remarkable Adventures of the Owl and the Pussycat by Eric Idle. As your parents or grandparents might know, Eric Idle was part of a famous comedy team called Monty Python's Flying Circus. In this audiobook, he takes you on a wonderfully silly musical adventure based on the nonsense poem The Owl and the Pussycat. To buy the book, just go to audiblepodcast.com/storynori. That's audiblepodcast.com/storynori. Or follow the link from our sidebar. many centuries ago. A gale blew across the land of Vietnam. It leant on the palm trees so that they bent their branches to the ground, and it grabbed red tiles from the roof of the great palace and chucked them across the courtyard. Out at sea, great waves made war on the cliffs, pounding at them with all the force of nature. Most of the local fishermen had seen the storm coming from afar and had pulled their boats well back from the shore and tied them fast to the ground. But a merchant ship was caught in the storm and its hull was dashed to splinters on the rocks. Everyone on board was drowned, except for one. By some miracle, the waves carried a basket containing a newly born baby, and they deposited it on the beach not far from the great palace. The morning after the storm, a fisherman's wife was out walking along the beach and searching through the debris for anything of value. She heard the baby's cries and discovered its basket under some torn-off palm leaves. She knew from the swaddling clothes of the child that he belonged to a rich family, and not knowing what else to do, she took him to the palace in search of a reward. When the king heard of this infant who had been saved from the storm by a miracle, he thought that it must be a very special child indeed. He adopted him as his own, and he grew up to be Prince Mian Tiem. Mian Tiem proved to be a popular young man, with wisdom and knowledge beyond his years. Often the king's counselors would consult his opinion before reaching a decision, because he understood the king's heart and his wishes better than anyone else. His adopted father loved him as much, if not more, than his natural sons. When Mian Tiem turned 20 years old, the king arranged for him to marry one of his daughters, Princess Kobar, who had been his friend since childhood. The celebration was the most extravagant of the king's reign. So much so that the king's own son, Prince Hao, grew envious, for the lavishness of the wedding party far exceeded his own. "My father means to adopt Mian Tiem as his successor," he thought to himself. "I must stop this." And so Prince Hao brought a large bribe to the head of the king's bodyguard, and a slightly smaller bribe to the head of his household. In return for this payment, these officials started to spread ugly rumors about Mian Tiem. "The king's favoritism has gone to his head. He is plotting a coup." And the further the rumors spread, the less clear it was where they had begun. Eventually, the head of the bodyguard came to the king and said that Mian Tiem had tried to recruit his services to overthrow the king. At first, the king would not believe this lie against his adopted son, but soon others in the palace, who confused rumor for fact, backed it up. With great sorrow in his heart, the king decreed that Mian Tiem was guilty of plotting treason and must be banished from the kingdom forevermore. His wife, Princess Kobar, swore that she would follow him to the ends of the earth, and soon the couple boarded a ship, which took them far out to sea and deposited them on a desert island. But Mian Tiem and Kobar did not despair, for although they had lost all the privileges of friends and comforts, they had at least each other. They found a stream with fresh water, and they built a hut for themselves out of leaves and branches. They made nets for fishing, and they learnt how to climb trees, to pick bananas, and shake down coconuts. But although everything they ate was fresh and good, their diet lacked anything that you might call a special treat. Kobar began to dream of sumptuous banquets. One day, after they had been on the island for several years, Mayan Tiem was walking along the cliffs when he saw a flock of birds squabbling excitedly amongst themselves. As he drew closer, he saw that the cause of all their excitement were some black seeds. He picked up a handful, and when he reached home, he scattered them on the ground around their hut and along the stream. Many months later, during one of the hottest times of the year, he noticed that some unusual plants had begun to sprout on the spot where he had spread the seeds. Over the coming weeks, they spread like a vine along the ground, and then some fruits started to bud under the leaves. These grew into enormous green fruits, the likes of which he had never seen before. On cutting them open, he discovered within soft, red flesh. He cut off a piece and popped it into his mouth, and it melted onto his tongue like no other. When a little later, Kobar tasted the fruit, she was enormously happy and pleased. It was her first treat in 7 years. The couple decided to call the fruit Red Melon, and they were careful to spread the seeds and grow a second crop. The red melons, which we know as watermelons, were one of the greatest joys of their life on the island. One day, when Mayan Tiem was sitting on the beach contemplating the vast ocean and the way his life had turned out, he idly carved his name on a watermelon and tossed it into the waves, wondering where it would wash up. Perhaps someone in some faraway land would be lucky enough to find the delicious fruit and would forevermore thank the name of Mayan Tiem that was engraved on its skin. And just as the ocean had been a friend to Mayan Tiem when he was a baby, so it proved now. The current carried the watermelon back to the kingdom of Vietnam. A fisherman's wife found the wondrous fruit on the beach, and she took it to the palace in hope of a reward. When the king saw the name that was carved on the fruit, he marveled at the reminder of his long-banished son. He tasted the red flesh of the fruit inside, and it was so delicious that he thought it was the greatest present that could be bestowed on a king who was so wealthy that he had every other pleasure that a human being could desire. He thought with love of Mayan Tiem, and in his heart he forgave him. And 2 weeks after that, a ship sent by the king came to the desert island to bring Mayan Tiem and Kobar back to the palace. Eventually, Mayan Tiem became the king of Vietnam, and he ruled wisely to the end of his days. And that's the story of the Watermelon Prince. And don't forget, there are loads more rich stories from all over the world at storynori.com. So drop by soon and listen to some. Until then, from me, Natasha. Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of tonight's show. Thank you for joining us for the stories and the trivia questions. We hope you enjoyed them. We'll be back here again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with another Kids Storytime show. Check down the bottom of the Kids Radio page and download the free craft files. We have added some new ones for you to enjoy. Remember to always wash your hands often to get rid of the germs, and always cough on your elbow. Good night, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on Kids Storytime, broadcast for you here on Kaylee Radio.